detailed questions. And so I'm going to go over some more things that now get into the practical, what do we do about it now phase, now that you've gotten a lot of underpinnings to this, hopefully. And in doing that, I actually may ask you more questions. I may ask you to tell me certain specific scenarios. Don't be afraid to either write down or speak up some very specific scenarios that you may be wondering about how we can apply what you've learned today. There's all kinds of nuances of how these things then can be handled within church or within society or whatever questions you've within the family, certainly. So don't be afraid to speak up and say, hey, well, what about this? What about when this happens? What do I do when my child does this? Or what do I do when I see a member of the church do this? Or tell me about this? How am I supposed to react? But what am I supposed to tell them? Well, that's why we started with the basics first. Yeah, there's more nuances to basics, but you've got the basics down pretty much. Also, again, I'll remind you, I'm giving anybody who wants it this PowerPoint program free. So just ask Shane for it or the elders for it. It's on their computers, I think, by now. Or you can email me, and I'll send it to you instantly. It's no problem. And it has, later on, you'll see some actual books and resources that I'm going to highly recommend that will serve to even more educate you on a lot more that needs to be said today. Okay, so I'll pick up these questions specifically again later, but that's what this afternoon is primarily about. How then do we, as the church, help the LGBT struggler? Whether gay, lesbian, bisexual, or identify that way, or transgender. I'm going to speak, I haven't spoken very much about transgenderism yet, and I'm going to do that a little bit more near the end, just so you guys know what's coming. So how do we help the LGBT struggler? Some of these are generality. In fact, all of these are generalities, attitudes, principles. But out of what I'm going to present, we need to talk about what that actually looks like on an everyday basis. So, how do you help? You're going to have to talk about it. In my opinion, we, over the last 50 years, have made an immense, unintentional blunder. We've more or less never talked about it. We've just not talked about it. We've not dealt with it. And look what's happening. Look what's happening when good men and women do nothing, or just don't know even, just don't have any knowledge, when we just are too afraid or too intimidated to talk about it. Well, now, folks, I think it's too late. You have to talk about it. And that's just me being very plain with you. We're going to have to talk about what the real issues are. We're going to have to be certain of what we know about the scripture. And we're all going to have to do it with an attitude of, remember what I said this morning, truth and compassion. How can it be anything else but? I'll tell you what LGBT folks or strugglers in our congregations don't need. They don't need only a typical scenario in which in a class or a preacher comes down hard on the scriptures that deal with the darkness of sexuality issues. Yes, there's a place for that. We need to know exactly how dangerous God is warning us about the darkness of sin. Not leaving that one iota. But the problem is, I don't think we're balanced. Where's the compassion? Where's the love? I think I'm correct on this. Anyone, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the only group of people that Jesus actually was quite belligerent towards were the Pharisees. I can't think of any example where he didn't go around condemning people. And I think sometimes, without realizing it, with a good attitude of thinking we're standing for the truth, we end up coming off as judgmental. And in these issues, in this particular issue, because you already know, because we talked about the inferiority issues, when a guy or a girl is dealing with these issues and all he or she hears is essentially what feels like condemnation to them, that's why they're saying nothing to you. They're afraid. They're afraid. They're terrified to say anything to preacher, elder, members. They think they got to be more or less perfect to be acceptable. And that's, I don't think that's being Christ to them. Now, I know that kind of thing is not happening intentionally. I know there's other issues involved. Certainly, everyone is responsible for their own spirituality, their own lives with the Lord. But to leave that piece off, I think, would be a major mistake. So to flesh out the whole story, the whole way of dealing with these issues. Yes, strong on Scripture, knowing exactly what the truth is, but also presenting that, as we've said before, through the lens of compassion, as Jesus would. He invited. He didn't take somebody around the neck and say, "You must believe in me." I don't think he did. Okay. You're going to have to demonstrate compassion. It's obvious. You're going to learn what you have learned already, how shame creates homosexual feelings. But that's kind of a simplistic statement. Does anybody have any questions about that trigger? If not, I'll move on. I just want to make sure you, because that has to do with the root cause. I want to make sure you got that. But I'll move on if nobody has questions about that. Okay. Educate the church members in your family. Guess what? You're already doing that. I'm here talking with you. You actually have the bravery to have a guy like me come in and talk to you about the deep end of the pool on these issues. Really in-depth stuff, not just spiritually, but emotionally, psychologically. And by the way, I guess as I've said before, it bears repeating, I believe that good psychology always reflects sound biblical principle. In my opinion, this is how I interpret psychology, just so you guys know, in case you think some people, some Christians actually think that psychologists trump God's word. No, not at all. It's not what I believe. I believe that if psychology is good, it's going to reflect sound biblical principles. And psychology, in the way I think of it, can be seen as just the fleshing out of the blueprint of God's design for men and women and their gender and sexuality. For instance, nowhere in the Bible does it say details of these issues. But this also falls in line with the way that men and women were created to be with each other and to be themselves in their healthy gender and sexual identities. I've also heard that you're having a series for college age and adults this next year, I guess, or currently, about sexuality and gender issues. That's great. You're educating the church. Well done. Well done. That's wonderful. Very brave. I don't see a lot of churches doing that today. You're going to be well prepared if you stick with it. Offer need fulfillment to the needy or the struggler. Get them therapy, groups, etc. We can talk about details around that. But the main part, really, if you want to really help the struggler, is to be a loving part of their lives. It really has to be more than just seeing them every Sunday at church. It really needs to be more than that. Because remember, these guys and gals are dealing with a lot of pain underneath all of this that you, I guess maybe for many of you, were unaware of until today. That's what you can assume safely, in my experience, that they're going through underneath all that struggle. Well, if you know that, that can point you in the right direction of how to relate to individuals, how to be open with them, how to stay non-judgmental, and how to show them truth and compassion at the same time. So having given you all those principles, make sure I'm going right here. Yeah, if you don't, where are they going to find love and acceptance? Take a guess. Yeah, LGBT community. That's one reason why these issues are running rampant all across the country and the world. Because people, a lot of people just don't know, or they're not bothering, or they want to remain ignorant. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter. Because they're finding, supposedly, love and acceptance within the LGBT community. So don't you let that happen, is my admonition for today. I know you can't. I'm not saying you have to march up to City Hall and go to the Washington, D.C. and march in protest for all these issues. You could. I mean, I do some of that, but you could. I could show you how to do it. But you don't have to do that. But in your community, where you are, within your own church, you can be prepared and educate and then tell your congregation that this is how we're going to handle things. And be in, the point is, because they never have had solid relationship attachments in early years, is to be in relationship with them today. Today. Be in a relationship with them, a solid relationship, in whatever way you can, and that's really ministering to these folks. I'm going to go over the kind of therapy I do in just a minute. I'm not going to spend a long time in that because it's kind of a... I'm going to tell you some important facts about actually how change occurs in my office and in people's everyday lives, but I'm going to save that till later. So right now, with those principles that we just talked about, what I want you to do is to volunteer some real-world scenarios. Remember, I said we're going to get really practical about it. What do you want me to help you with? What scenario? I've got one I'll start off with in case you guys just got blindsided. You can tell me, remember? I said at the very beginning. You can bring up anything you want. Nothing's going to shock me. I've heard it all. I've heard everything from, I had some feelings I didn't know how to deal with when I was 5, but I don't have many more, all the way up to living the gay lifestyle for 20 years. I'm not the guru of all knowledge, but I kind of heard everything. So don't be afraid to ask me about highly specific, what do I do if this happens or with this issue kinds of situations. I'm here for you to test me out if you like. Yes, sir.
What are the statistics or what is the possibility of being led the other way if you're reaching out to someone that's having difficulties and then you find yourself being caught up in their problem as well? I say their problem because it's sin. And what are the statistics of that, if you have any, and what are the chances?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean. Are you talking about somebody who develops homosexual feelings because of influence?
Someone that is reaching out, trying to be a friend and a buddy and a pal and all that, and then you find they're infecting you instead of you are influencing them.
Mm-hmm. That's a very specific question. Again, these are my opinions. I'm not telling you I'm setting this in stone for you, but in my opinions, they need to talk about it with an older person or an elder, preacher. They need to research for themselves. They need to know what, they need to go immediately inside to the deep end of the pool, as I called it, into the deeper issues, to figure themselves out, self-reflection, really figure themselves out, and they're usually going to need help to do that. But in order to do that more easily, to make them feel free to be able to talk to an older person or maybe even the same age person, but somebody who maybe knows and can help educate them, what they don't need is some kind of horrific freak-out, shame-based emotional thing that just represses everything and they just to come back up years later.
Well, I'm not talking about the person that needs help.
Yeah, I know.
Trying to reach out for.
But you're saying they're being influenced. The person
I'm talking about the person that's trying to influence the other person, that's trying to be the friend, that's trying to be the buddy that they need to support.
Yep, but you're saying that person ends up developing feelings themselves?
That's trying to reach out to the person that's LGBT.
Right.
Is influenced the other way. Is
right. That's what I was answering.
Okay.
What I just answered.
It still sounded like you were when you were saying that you were talking about the original person that was having difficulty.
Well, if both people end up having the same basic problem, then it's going to be the same answer for both. Does that make sense?
Yes, it is.
If that other person that you're talking about is too influenced, well, yeah, he needs help.
I mean, I just think there's some warning there involved as well. Well,
what would that look like for you?
Well, instead of just saying that everybody ought to be reaching out, you need to be reaching out with caution.
Yeah.
You need to be watching yourself as well as helping the other person.
Of course. Yeah, make a very good point. I would highly recommend that. You should always have the quality of caution and all these things, especially if it's the kind of situation where you just said where a person all of a sudden finds they're being influenced emotionally by those same issues. But they would still need, as a part of that caution, to become self-educated and to know themselves really well and get some help for that. Yes, ma'am? Well, I don't believe God created. Yeah, that, see, you're not. What you're talking about is intersex. Now, that's different than transgenderism and homosexuality.
That's what she's asking.
Right. Well, okay. They can look at it that way, but there's still no intersex gene. There's no study that conclusively proves, if you're talking about it from a scientific standpoint, that somebody is naturally intersexed. The LGBT community wants you to believe that. They'll come up with some research that indicates that, but there's no conclusive studies that prove that. In fact, for intersex, it's almost always true that one sexual characteristics are more prevalent than the other. And for some extremely rare cases, they have to choose which sex that person will be. But it's usually, there's always usually one that's more dominant than the other. It's rarely, as far as I know, it's rarely equal to where somebody would just be naturally, oh, they can just go kind of either way. It's just, you know, it doesn't matter. It's created that way. Well, that's true. But in terms of, you're talking about emotional and biological causality. The scripture doesn't talk a lot about biology and emotional causality, all right? But it does say, in the beginning, God created them male and female. Now, he either created them truly, naturally transgender or equal male and female, or he didn't. To go to that question, in my opinion, you would have to go to some scientific research. And the research is not conclusive at all. So in this particular case, I would tell that person, there's no research to prove what you're saying.
Okay, that meaning that person want me to call he or she. Do I need to accept that to still call him?
Ah, now you're talking about a very different question.
Okay.
Now you're talking about a very different question. How do you handle that, okay?
Exactly.
There's two different ways to handle that, in my experience, all right? For someone who would be greatly freaked out or so offended that I felt in my judgment call that there's no way I could influence them for good, sometimes I use the pronoun that they want to be called by. But if I feel I can do more good with using what I believe actually is the correct pronoun biologically, I'll use that. I personally believe you're probably going to get farther in the long run. I'm talking about somebody who's really gone over to the left. I'm not talking about somebody who's, you know, in flux and deciding. That's the person I would use the correct pronoun with. But I'm talking about somebody who's completely convinced, totally bought into the transgender thing, that kind of thing. I generally use the pronoun they want me to use. Only for one reason, because that's probably how I can, over time, influence them for the truth. That's still a judgment call. Do what you want to do, but that's my view on it so far. Yes, ma'am? Some people do, yeah. Right.
To go back to what you said earlier, the free causing is not about sex. It's different. So if that person who's trying to help doesn't have those issues of inferiority or whatever, it's not going to be a role to make sure they have those people.
Probably not. Great question. Here all the time. Glad you asked it. So for people who literally just aren't prepared for this, all I do is suggest that they talk to somebody who can handle it. What is not good is that they just leave the situation alone. If anyone can have enough grace to hand the situation off to somebody who, let's say, is more in the know, or who knows what the issues are, who can tolerate, who aren't as triggered negatively. A great question. So I'm not saying every person here has to walk up to every LGBT person and have an intimate relationship. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that those doors need to be open so that kind of thing can happen with those individuals who are able to do that. On the other hand, everybody can warmly relate to somebody, even if it's just a mere acquaintance level. What you don't want to have, let's be real practical, Sunday morning, tomorrow, LGBT person walks right in to your front door. What are you going to do? Steer away from them? Yeah, what if they walk in? See, I told you it's getting practical. Here we go. What if they walk in and say, hey, I've been looking for a church. I'm married to a guy who didn't come up with, it's a guy, and I'm married to my husband, and he didn't come with me today, but I'm looking for a church, and I just like the way this church looked, and I'd like to visit today. What would you do?
Well, go ahead.
Really? Would you? I think that's being Christ to them. And the bottom line here is, I haven't said it this way yet, but that's what I'm advocating. Be Christ to them. That's what you do. What would Christ do? Be Christ to them. Review the scriptures if you want to about how he handled relationships. How do you address the woman caught in adultery? You wicked harlot. No, he didn't. He didn't do that. Now he was caustic, to say the least, with Pharisees, but I kind of think they deserved it and needed it. But other folks, publicans, sinners, he ate dinner with them. You getting the picture? What if they walks in? It's like, relate to them. Some people you can tell. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some people you can kind of suspect they're gay, and some people you have no idea. So let's say it's a person where this has got to be a, maybe they're just not looking like the norm you're used to, all right? You go right up to them and look him right in the eyes. Don't go, hey, glad you're here. Do I sound inviting when I do that? No, it's like, be real with them. Put your hand out to them. Be real with them. Look them in the eyes. Don't give them some Church of Christ spiel. Tell them, hey, tell me about yourself. Hey, you've come in off, just on your own volition. Hey, well, tell me about your life. What's been happening with you? Wow, this guy really is interested in me. Don't you think that'll affect underneath on some level those three causes? You'll want to come back. Technically, you get enough love, And a guy may be more open to the truth when the people around him show him love. Yes, sir.
I was wondering, you talked about the political aspects, what you're dealing with. In the school system, we have educators here. And if a parent were to come in and request that you as an educator or an administrator talk with her son because she sees, as a mother, his tendencies, what legal ramifications might there be in regards to you counseling with the parent's permission and advocacy about that type of behavior?
Well, my first reaction is if you're counseling without a license, you're doing something illegal.
Well, I don't mean professional counseling.
Okay.
I'm talking about talking with a child. We have single mothers.
Okay.
We have nobody in their family.
Uh-huh.
And their sons are struggling. They see it. And they want somebody to help their son. They go to the school.
Okay.
That's the first place they go.
Okay. Two answers for that. Since this really isn't about sex, what do you think the first answer I'm going to advise you to do? Since it's about a relationship and not sex and unmet needs, what do you think I'm going to tell you first?
Are you talking about the mother or the boy?
The boy, because she wants help for the boy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get to know the boy. Form a relationship with the boy. Let him copy your sense of, see, you're a male role model whether you know it or not. Boys tend to copy men automatically. They don't walk up to their fathers at 5 years of age and say, Dad, I'm going to copy you because I want to feel good about my masculinity and grow up to be a full man and not have homosexual problems. No, it happens automatically. When sons or boys have mentors, in other words, be a mentor to that kid. Now, if that mother is asking you to counsel that kid on what you believe, what the Bible says, or what, let's say, psychology says about the inner issues, then you might have to tread a little carefully there because you might have to check your school policies on what you're allowed to do in terms of speaking about your religious faith or and then especially about the underlying emotional issues. You could, I think, maybe get around that if you just spoke in terms of what you believe. You could say, hey, this is what I believe. What do you think? That's not preaching to anybody. That's just telling them what you believe. That probably is permissible, but you may have certain people in the school system that would even be objecting to that. Does that help you? Okay. Yeah, Tony.
David has a Christian father who's raising a son, middle school, whatever. So it's him in that age group. And he comes up to me and he says, Dad, I'm having feelings towards guys that I don't think is correct. As a Christian father who's trying to get his family to heaven, what do I do?
What a question. I was hoping that would come up. Thank you. You want to role play this? A little therapy going on.
Well, because that is real.
Are you willing to actually just spend a moment or two role playing it? I'm going to play you. So we'll learn something, hopefully. All right? You be the kid. In role playing, I'm always the you. All right? So I'm the dad. All right? You're the what, 15-year-old kid?
Yes, sir.
Okay? And I'm in my office and... okay, so 15-year-old comes in and you start. Go ahead. My computer.
But I want to talk to you about that.
Sure, what's fine?
I'm having feelings that I don't think are right, that I have been taught.
Feelings about what? For who?
Boys, men.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, yeah, tell me about it. What's it feel like to you?
I'm attracted to
them. Okay, in what way? Tell me about it. I'm not going to judge you.
I don't have the feelings toward girls that my friends do.
Okay.
And I'm feeling more that I like to be with guys. I'm feeling like I could be attracted to guys.
Okay, so son, you're talking about sex attraction, right?
Not sure.
A romantic attraction? Some similar kind?
I just don't feel about girls.
Okay. Well, you told me you have you think you have some feelings towards guys in that way, right? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's find out all about it. Let you and I work together. Let's find out all about it, because it happens sometimes in guys' lives. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Why don't we just explore it together, you and I, and we'll figure it out together. Would that work for you? Okay. Because you know what I believe? I believe, not just the Bible, but I believe male identity issues have a lot to do with this. And you're a growing young man, and I really think there are answers for this. I really do. And because I love you, we're going to figure this out, you and me together. You want to do that? Okay. Don't worry too much about it. We'll just figure it out. We'll spend all the time we need. I don't care how long it takes. And we'll just figure it out. Because I know a lot of folks that these issues kind of resolve. You probably have never known that. But this is not really like a cataclysmic volcano that's about to blow off. We'll figure it out. Okay.
One other question.
Well, hang on. Stop. Go to your room. Right. So when we do a role play, I'll come back to you, but go and volunteer this. What did you see me do, and why did you think I did what I did? Every single thing, I assure you, was calculated on purpose, hopefully authentically, it appeared. But every single thing I did for a specific reason. What did you see me do, and why do you think I chose to respond that way? Yes, sir.
The first thing was staying as calm as possible. Because when you freak out, you have just, first of all, you've destroyed your credibility immediately. Because he thinks it's a big deal. Like the biggest deal ever. And if now you think it's the biggest, worst, craziest thing ever. He turned to you because he was looking for help. You can't help him. You're busy freaking out.
On the nose. That's exactly why I did that. The first reaction, that's exactly what I did. And that's what the chapter that you have copies of, I think. It states that in there. Here's what not to do. Don't, and elders and church members too, don't freak out. Do you know what they're expecting you to do? Freak out. Don't give it to them. Remain calm. Absolutely. Did you feel kind of emotionally good as you were playing that role model reacting to me? Didn't feel bad. Okay, good. See, the way I did that, hopefully, I saw you take a breath, so I wondered, maybe he's kind of relaxing. Well, that's what you're looking for in your sons or your daughters as well. Oh, he understands me. He didn't judge me. He didn't condemn me. And what else did you see me do?
You mentioned love.
Yes, I did. Exactly. I worked that in there. You think I did all on purpose? You bet I did. What else? Exactly. I did that on purpose. I told him first, almost the first thing, well, tell me more about it. I didn't say, what? Let's go call David Pickup. He's got an appointment tomorrow at 3. But I didn't do that. I get him to talk about it. My attitude, hopefully, was compassionate and curious, low-key. So he tells me, and he went into a long explanation. Did you hear him? He went into a long explanation. I saw some worry in his voice. I saw hesitation in his words. I just let him get it out. That's a tool, folks. That's a parenting tool right there. Yes, sir.
You had him to partially solve his own problem. You didn't solve his problem like me.
Yeah, you're right.
You talked him into solving his, attacking his issues.
That's brilliant. Are you a therapist? No, that really is very smart. Oh. Same thing. Have I got a therapy for you? You're exactly right. Thank you for pointing that out. Not a lot of people get that. But yeah, you're correct. That's exactly what kind of happens. Yes, sir. Or whoever else.
This is wrong. figure out. You didn't immediately go into a condemnation of everything, why this is wrong, why you're wrong, how we need to fix it. It was, okay, let's talk about it. Let's figure out what's going wrong here.
On the nose. Boom. Do you know how many fathers, I mean, I'm not condemning them. I'm just saying sometimes they don't know better, but you know how many fathers and mothers tend to do that? Most of them. Most of the fathers and mothers of the children who are in my office. Just so you know. What else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I did that specifically in case, because I knew he probably was going to feel some shame and inferiority, so I specifically said those words just to kind of help make sure about that. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am? Exactly. 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 Especially now, girls, same way, but especially I kind of think teenage boys are likely to kind of go there too much. They're going to think, I'm the only one with this problem. I can't talk to my own friends about it. I can't talk to whatever. And yeah, I kind of normalized it. I generalized it, which is true. Now, I can't prove this to you scientifically, but just because of my experience, you guys have no idea how many men and women are dealing with sexuality issues. It's much more than you think, but nobody's talking about it. That's one reason why I'm so honored to be here. What else? Anybody notice anything interesting about what I did, or terrible, maybe, about what I did? Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a good point. Now, if my son came to me and said, you know what, maybe it really is all about love, and maybe God made me this way. Okay, now then I'd go to Scripture at some point, but I would still include everything I did that you saw a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yes, sir. Brilliant. No one has ever brought that point up before. I already believe that. Yeah, that's brilliant. You're exactly right. I assure you, if he was my real son, somewhere on the inside, I would be going, oh, no! But I would be wise and loving and I would be everything I'm trying to demonstrate. Is it hard? Yes. It's easy for me to stand up here and role play. But that's exactly what I would do. Even if I'm free, that's what I'm suggesting that fathers, elders, members of the church do. If you're freaking out, fine. Own your feelings. Freak out. But make a choice of behavior that looks much more like what you just saw, if what you just saw sounded truthful and compassionate. Yes, sir?
That person walked in here and he admitted he was a homosexual. Then, let's talk about it. We've got to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not advocating. Right. I'm not advocating, and hopefully I didn't even indicate this, that the LGBT folks come in and sit down and worship, and we just let them worship, and we don't talk about it, and hey, great, we'll just see by osmosis if them. No, I don't believe in that. No, we talk about it. But a lot of people who are in extreme lifestyles, they are more amenable to hearing the truth when we, at the same time or first, be in more of a relationship with them, so that when we do present it, whether it's immediately or later, they'll be able to open their ears more to the truth. Make a good point. Thank you. Anything else on that? Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's right. That's right. Exactly. Well said. Yes, ma'am.
Using the same scenario, reverse it. Say you see something in him. to approach him about his actions or what is leading you to believe that maybe he's going in that direction.
Okay.
How do you approach him?
This is a great question. This is all so practical, so great. Yes, I'll happy to answer that. But which kind of scenario where you've seen actually him do some things that are pretty much homosexual, or when you don't know anything if he actually is or not?
No, when you recognize the behavior.
That he's being attracted to other boys, in fact?
Yes.
Okay, I'll use that scenario.
Yes.
Okay. So when you see that, it's largely the same kind of thing. Let's say, you want to role play it? Okay.
No one will make any more comments.
No, it'll be short. It'll be short. So let's say, so I'm you. You're the boy. Let's say, what, 15, 20, what?
Somewhere.
Okay. Yep. Teenager. Okay. And I have...
Oh, no, let's go older.
Okay, 25.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a guy in the church, 25 years old, single, and I've seen some behavior that's definitely something's homoerotic is going on, okay? So I'm you. What, Sunday morning or over at his house or what? Seeing him at lunch one day? Doesn't matter.
Just say you're having me over to your house or I'm having you over.
Yeah.
In a casual setting, not
right,
in
right.
A congregation.
Yeah, so, all right, so let's say your name is Tony. Well, sorry, no, Fred. Okay. So, Fred, hey, I'm glad you come over today. All right. So, you want to eat some lunch?
Sure.
Okay, great. Okay, eat all that stuff. All right. So, and then inside, I'm trying to formulate an opinion on kind of where he's at emotionally. I'm just kind of looking for clues or cues, and so. But I definitely want to talk to him about something I saw the other day, and so again, this is only suggestions. You don't have to take it with a grain of salt. But you might approach it, I'll just play it. Fred, can we talk for something a bit more serious?
Sure.
I don't want you to freak out, but I saw the way you touched a guy at school the other day, and it made me wonder if you had some confidence issues about your own sense of self as a guy. I may be prying. Am I prying, Fred?
No.
Okay,
those
good.
Are friends.
Okay, good. So I saw that, and so maybe you have some issues you're going through. I want you to know that I'm going to be here for you if there's some issues that you want to talk to me about. I'm just wondering if you feel kind of not so confident about yourself. Is that an issue for you? Okay. Well, because the reason I'm saying that is because I've noticed when guys are, you know, young like you are, sometimes they tend to have a little bit of problem with male confidence, and sometimes they have a huge amount of problems with male confidence. And it seems like sometimes in me just looking at you occasionally, because, you know, we're friends, and I just notice things, because I'm your friend, and it seems like you don't walk around too confidently about your own sense of, I don't know, male self. You see, I've been wondering if you have had some confidence issues for a while. It's up to you. Cat got your tongue? Okay, yeah, Fred. Did I stymie you? Did I intrude too much on you? Well, is it, you said it was potentially a confidence issue, maybe?
It could be, yes.
Okay, well, do you want some help with that? Because I'm your friend. I want to be right here for you. Because I know how important that is to a growing young man. And I really want to be here for you on that.
Okay.
Is that all right? Mm-hmm. Okay. If there's some more issues on that that's more serious than that I can hear that too. A lot of times, guys, in my experience, who felt really, like, fearful of masculinity or low or inferior about their own selves, their own masculinity, sometimes feel attracted, actually, to other guys. So if that's an issue, you can talk to me about that as well. I'm not going to judge you. Or I know a lot of resources, actually, that can help with that. I know a great therapist in Dallas who can really. Okay, so cut print. All right, so that was actually kind of, you know, What did you see me do, and why do you think I did it? Everything I said, again, was calculated. Exactly. If I'm trying to approach a kid or a 25-year-old about homosexuality, I'm probably not going to talk about homosexuality first. Why? For some reasons. Because I want him to trust me first. I know probably what's inside of him is a deep sense of inferiority if he's got the issues and unmet needs, and so I'm going to go towards the needs, the relationship first. And then I bring up the issue like I did. And notice how I went to the real issue first before I went to the symptom of homosexual feelings. Did you catch that?
Okay. How do we overcome the fear of approaching someone?
Compassion. Compassion cuts out all fear.
What do you do in that scenario when she says, I know where you're going, mind your own business, we're friends, but we're not going there?
Yeah, okay, so we're role-playing it. Yeah, I get you. These issues can be really controversial or really tough, so I want to respect your space. If I can be here for you at any minute, I'm never going to judge you on this. I've discovered a lot of stuff about these issues, and I've got nothing but compassion for you if that's what's going on. So if you do want to talk about it, I'm here for you. Okay, what's for dinner? Now, why did I do that?
Because you didn't want to make him mad to where he wouldn't not talk to you ever.
Because I'm setting hope in an authentic, good-hearted way. I'm setting him up for a potential conversation later because the relationship is going to, so that he'll be willing to talk about it later. That's exactly why I did that. Okay. Any other scenarios you want to talk about? I'll go to you first. Really? You look 30. I'm kidding.
I know quite a few teachers actually at the school that do like recognize the name of the day, and I actually have one of them. And I just wanted to ask you if you had any
You want to role play it? Have I got answers for you? Is that okay, really? I don't want to make you do anything. Okay, all right. So I'm going to be you. What's your first name?
Natalie.
Natalie? Okay. I'm going to be you. I'm Natalie. You're what, 16? Okay. I'm Natalie at 16, and who do you want to be that's going to be kind of in a contest with you over these issues? Okay, male or female?
Female,
okay. And she's, and what, just give me an idea first before we start what she's going to say typically.
Just asking you, like, well, how do you feel about our teacher saying that he's gay, or how do you feel about other people?
Ah, okay. Well, that's actually a very good beginning. So let's just start. And I'm now Natalie, and you're you. Begin. Well, you know what? I got a lot of compassion for that guy because I've learned a lot about what's really going on the LGBT issues, and I found out it's really not about sex. It's about a lot of these guys have experienced so much wounding in their childhood and not had a lot of same-sex needs met for love and affection, approval, and all that stuff. My heart goes out to them. I don't think it's inborn because, you know, science says, it proves there's no gay gene. But it doesn't mean I hate him. I actually feel compassion for him. Sharon? Well, I'm not judging them. I'm giving you an opinion. You don't have to take my word for it. Find out for yourself. I'm not judging you at all. Or him. I'm just telling you what I believe. And a lot of people tend to just quote the Bible and that's it, and they end up kind of coming off as haters, and I'm trying my best not to do that. In fact, I refuse to hate gay people. I think there's some issues going on, but it's true, I don't believe in inborn nature of that. There's, like I said, the research indicates it's not really an inborn thing. So Maybe we maybe you and I differ with each other on that. That's okay. I get it. I can still be friends with you and be both. I'm glad you told me how you evidently believe the opposite. Great. Okay. I get it. So, but I'm not going to change my beliefs based on what my life experiences are either. But, you know, I still want to be your friend. Okay. So, what did you see me do and why do you think I did it? Maybe it's obvious. I don't know. You'll still have some people that will still flip out. I'm not saying that won't happen to you, but you're exactly right. That's exactly why I did that.
At the same time, if you approach it with, I have compassion for them, I hate them, you also disarm the other guy.
Right. 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 Most people are expecting two things, remember. Remember, it's about basics. Two things. Oh, well, he's a hater, and he doesn't believe that people are born gay. What a wacko! You must be a hater because of that. So you're right. To disarm what I suspected was going to be coming my way. That's exactly why I responded the way I did. Great. Anything else? Yes, sir.
So shifting gears a little bit more towards prevention. I've got two very young children, and so my son has not had any conversations with me about homosexual feelings. He's only two, but.
He probably won't.
He's going to grow up in this world. And those conversations will come with both my son and daughter. Even if they never express homosexual feelings, they're going to have questions about, how do I deal with this?
Yes.
What is this?
Perfect.
And
that's exactly the lead-in for the next session. And we're going to start with that next session. So take a break, and I'll see you for the last session in a few, what? Gets me how? What do you mean?
Sexually?
Oh, sure. Sure. It happens. I'm a therapist. I can handle it. I come from a truth and a compassion standpoint. That's where I'm at. I understand his heart more than he does, probably. It doesn't bug me. And the less you're bugged about it and realize with compassion what the real issues are, the more you're able to get to that point. I'm not saying you have to, but you raise a very, nobody's ever asked me that before. That's really good. But that's right. That's how it goes. Okay, so what? I know how to handle it. I know how to treat that person. I know how to handle that so that they won't move into yet another shame trip. It's a lot of it's because I'm a trained therapist, and therapists are there's specific training programs for how to counter or how to deal with when people do things like that. Well, we are going to, let's go ahead and stop and just take a break, and then we'll come back, and then I'll get to the rest of it, and we'll start with this gentleman's question over here. So see you in a few minutes. Thank you.